A Charlie Brown Christmas has been a staple during the holiday season for almost as long as I've been around. It first aired in 1965, and I was all of a year old. But what most folks don't know is that it almost didn't make it to television screens at all. When writer Charles Schulz and producer-director Bill Melendez brought the finished version of the program to CBS, the executives did not like that there was no laugh track. Remember back in the mid-60s, everything had a laugh track. Charles Schulz said, "I don't want it. I want people to decide for themselves when to laugh." They didn't like the fact that children were used for the voices of the Peanuts gang. They thought it should be adults. I don't know why, but that was what they thought. They didn't care for the music of the Vince Guaraldi trio. Now, I don't know about you, but a Charlie Brown Christmas is just not the same without the music that goes along with it. But they thought it was inappropriate. But what they objected to the most was the fact that at the height of the story, Linus tells the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke. And even back then, it was politically incorrect to be quoting scripture in a television production. Well, there was a bit of a standoff, but because of the tight production schedule and the fact that Charles Schulz would not back down on any of it, they went ahead. They aired the special as it was produced, but they were certain they had a flop on their hands. The rest, as they say, is history. The half-hour special aired for the first time on December the 9th, 1965. It preempted that blockbuster hit, The Munsters. How many of you remember that show? It followed Gilligan's Island. And to the surprise of the executives, 50% of American televisions were tuned to A Charlie Brown Christmas. I don't know what that translates into the Nelson rating or the Nielsen ratings. That's unheard of. 50%. And not only was it a commercial hit, it won the Peabody Award and an Emmy as well. Now, when we get to the program, the climax, the dramatic highlight of the show comes when Charlie Brown is so distraught. He went out and he got a tree that he thought would be great for their Christmas program. All of the kids laughed at it. They laughed at him. And he gets to a point where he's just beside himself. That's where our first clip comes in.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Something I confess I never realized until it was pointed out to me this year. Did you notice that when Linus was telling the story, and he says the angels told the shepherds, fear not, that he dropped his blanket? That symbol of security that you never see Linus without. The only time I've ever known in the whole Peanuts history that he ever voluntarily gave up his blanket was when he said, fear not, telling the story of Christmas. And then, of course, he ends with the simple statement, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And I wonder, is it really that simple? I mean, our Christmas celebrations these days are anything but simple. And maybe that's a problem. Maybe if we got back to the simple facts, we'd rediscover what Christmas is all about. That first Christmas was not special. It wasn't particularly noteworthy. We don't even know what date it was. Scholars can't even pinpoint the year precisely. We know it wasn't the zero year because Herod the Great died in 4 BC. So the dates were messed up anyway. We have no idea what month or what day Jesus was born. See, back then they didn't celebrate birthdays. They had holy days that they celebrated, but birthdays was not one of them. And so we have no record as to when Jesus was born. And we won't get into how we arrived at December 25th. That's for another message. But that day, that particular day was not noteworthy in any way. It was an ordinary day followed by an ordinary night. And on that ordinary night, we find some ordinary men. In the first century, the shepherds stood as just your kind of cross-section average Palestinian. These guys were quite literally the men on the night shift. In fact, we find that shepherds were really outcasts in ancient Israel. You see, their work not only made them ceremonially unclean, but it kept them away from the temple for weeks at a time to where they could take care of that ritual uncleanness. I would say that in our day, we might think of truck drivers or longshoremen or factory workers, just blue-collar guys, not highly thought of by much of society, and certainly not the kind of people you would expect to be the first to hear extraordinary news. I'm reminded of a musical that was produced several years ago entitled Child of the Promise. And in that, there's a song that the shepherds sing. It's called Nothing Ever Happens to a Shepherd. It says it's cold outside in this godforsaken place, and we're stuck here with 1,000 sheep. While life is exciting for everybody else, the highlight of our day is sleep. It's lonely out here in this isolated job. Our position is without esteem. We're socially challenged. We're society scourged. We're not exactly every woman's dream. Nothing ever happens to a shepherd. Life is as boring as it can be. While exciting things occur all over the world, nothing ever happens to me. And at that point, the stage goes black. Just like I'm sure that night outside of Bethlehem, the sky was black. And then suddenly, a bright light appears, just as it did that first Christmas night. And for the shepherds, their night, in fact, their entire lives, was about to experience a dramatic interruption. The night lights up as an angel appears from heaven. Needless to say, the shepherds were struck with amazement and, I'm sure, a lot of fear. I mean, think about it. If you were awakened in the middle of the night by a bright light and when you open your eyes, there's an angel in front of you, I think I'd be afraid too. It's no wonder that the angel begins with the words, "Fear not." Now, we can hardly even imagine what startled, frightening feelings the shepherds had when suddenly, with no warning whatsoever, the highest of all created beings showed up in blazing glory. In fact, it's difficult to describe the dramatic significance of that moment. We're so used to the story, we just take it in stride. But Luke says here that the glory of the Lord shone around them. That's an expression we often take for granted, but it denotes one of the high points of all history. This didn't just happen all the time, and it certainly didn't happen to shepherds. Yet as unlikely as it was for the shepherds not to be scared out of their socks when an angel appeared in the middle of the night, the angel's message must have been downright unbelievable. hear the words again. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Think about it. This is the Messiah. This is the promised one. This is the long-awaited one. God's people had been waiting literally for centuries for this one to come. And he's born on this night, right across the way in Bethlehem. And the first ones to hear about it were shepherds. But there is more. Who was it that was born in the city of David? Christ the Lord. Now, the word Christ is Greek, and it means the same thing as the Hebrew word Messiah. Over this last month, as I was listening to different Christmas songs, I like to listen to Christmas songs the whole month of December. And one of the songs, and I want to say it's one of the classic, might have even been part of the Messiah by Handel, says, Christ the Messiah. And I thought to myself, that's a redundancy, because both words mean the same thing. They both mean the anointed one. And this was the one they were looking for, but it says Christ the Lord. Let that sink in. That little baby, wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feed trough, was none other than God Almighty. Christ the Lord. This is God Himself. Warren Wiersbe put it very well. How amazed the angels must have been when they saw their Creator born as a creature. The Word becoming a speechless baby. The best commentary on this is 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. And the best response from our hearts is wonder and worship. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The news of the angels is what we call a divine incarnation. God becomes man. In the words of one of my favorite contemporary Christmas songs, He wrapped His love in flesh and blood and took the form of man. That's what Christmas is all about. God Almighty was born as a helpless baby to a poor couple in a barn. Now, I know you won't probably see that on a Christmas card, but that's the bottom line of what Christmas is all about. God became man in the form not of a conquering hero, but of a crying child, a newborn infant. And after that incredible news, all heaven broke loose when angels appeared and started praising God to this very small and most unlikely audience. Their message, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That word peace is the Hebrew word shalom. It means so much more than just an absence of conflict. It has the connotation of well-being, of health, security, soundness, wholeness. All that that entails is what God was sending to man. And I must admit that with all of the people that I deal with, if there was one thing they have in common, they need peace. They need peace with God. They feel that God is a million miles away. They feel that God is mad at them. They feel that God hates them. They need peace with God. They need peace with one another. What is so sad that at a time like the holiday season, which ought to bring families together, what it often does is highlights how far families are apart. We need peace with one another. And we need peace within. We need peace of mind. We need peace of soul. And you know, Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with one another. We have peace with ourselves. That's the great message of Christmas. Jesus has come that we might have peace. That phrase that we know so well, goodwill toward men, is probably better rendered, as the NIV puts it, peace to men on whom his favor rests. The Jewish Christian scholar David Stearns comments, "People of goodwill are people whom the will of God favors and whose own wills desire what God wills." So it isn't just a matter that God has chosen them, but they have chosen God. They have chosen God's way is the best way. And we might not see that in a bunch of shepherds, but God did. God did not appear. He did not send his angels to appear before the royalty of the Roman Empire. He did not send them to appear before the Bible scholars of the day. In fact, we know that story. They were given the news and did nothing about it. But not the shepherds. You see, implied in the angel's message was a definitive invitation to go and check out for themselves what the angels had seen. The shepherds were even given a sign. "You'll find the baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a feed trough." Even 2,000 years ago, there weren't too many babies you'd find in that condition. So they would be sure they've got the right one. So what did the shepherds do? Now, we don't see this in Linus's resuscitation in A Charlie Brown Christmas, but if we read a little further into Luke chapter 2, we'll discover in verse 15, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go into Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" What did they do? They got up and went. We don't see any hesitation. We don't see any arguing. And again, we're probably so familiar with the story, we may not catch the significance. Would we have been that responsive? Would we have dropped everything in the middle of the night to go and check this out? As Paul Meyer puts it, "Perhaps it was fortunate that these were common laymen, for if they had been scholars or theologians, they would likely have first held a debate on the hillside instead of rushing into Bethlehem after the glad announcement. The conservatives insisting that they could never leave their sheep, and the liberals labeling the angelic appearance a mere hallucination." Isn't that typical today? I think if that had happened in most cases, we'd have formed a committee, right? "Well, let's meet next week and talk about it. Let's take a vote." They just said, "Let's go." They might have looked at each other and say, "Did you see that?" "No, I didn't see nothing." Or they might have even said, "Wow, that was inspirational. I feel so good." And then just sat back down. We chuckle at that, but you know, that's what a lot of people do when they hear the good news of Jesus. "Oh, I feel so good. It feels so warm inside." And then they just go on with their lives. Notice the shepherds' reaction to the encounter. You see, they went to Bethlehem. They found Mary and Joseph. They found the child. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, the only way they knew that it was just as they had been told was they went and saw it for themselves. They checked it out. They took the time, they took the effort to find out if it was true. And you know what they discovered? It was true. This news that sounded too good to be true was true. It was real. And it changed their lives. I'm reminded here of two invitations that were given, not at Christmas, but at Easter. If you look in the 28th chapter of Matthew, verse 6 says, "Come and see." And then later on in verse 10, it says, "Go and tell." How simple is that? Come and see, go and tell. That's what we're called to do. Come and see what the Lord has done, and then go and tell others of His goodness. That's what the shepherds did. And you know that invitation to the shepherds? It's still open today. No, we can't go down the road to Bethlehem and see the Christ child in a manger, but we can open our hearts to Him. As I mentioned last night at the candlelight service, this same Jesus who was born in Bethlehem would say later in Revelation 3:20, "I stand at the door and knock." Now, Jesus is God. He could bust that door down if He wanted to, but He doesn't. He knocks. In fact, the word there in the Greek means He is constantly knocking. Persistently knocking at the door of your heart. And He said, "If anyone opens the door, I will come in. I'll have fellowship with him and he with me." But we have to open the door. He won't open the door for us. We have been given an invitation. We can have, as one preacher put it, a Bethlehem experience in our hearts. It's like we sang earlier in that words of the famous Christmas carol, "Be born in us today." Christ wants to be born in your heart. So that Christmas isn't just an event on the calendar, it's an experience for our whole lives. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. It's all about the news of a baby's birth. It's all about God becoming man so that man can become children of God. A baby was born that we might be born again. And I ask you this morning, have you had that kind of Christmas in your life? If you have, I would challenge you, do what the shepherds did. Once they came and saw, they went and told. And let's go from this place and tell others the good news of Jesus. Not just at Christmas time, but all year through. I thought that a good, appropriate way to end not only this morning's service, but this series of A Charlie Brown Christmas is the way the program ends. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand. We're going to sing along with the Peanuts Gang, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory.